Have you ever felt, or do you feel now, like you're just totally broken? You ever been that way? I mean, where everything, it's just not one thing. It's not two things. It's not even multiple things. It is a multiplicity, an innumerable amount. The world has caused you to cave in. You're broken. You know who's felt that utter brokenness? Jesus Christ. He felt that on the cross. He said, Larry, I'm going to have to do this for you, Larry. I'm going to feel ultimately broken so that I can carry you through your brokenness. Now, Larry, you're not going to be able to handle the brokenness that life's going to bring you. It's going to mess with your mind. Well, life has a way of doing that, doesn't it? Just messing up your whole mind. And we didn't have much to begin with. But what little we got, it just seems to keep getting messed up. What's going on? It's called life. Reality living. Life. So what I want to bring to you today is a promise that if you are broken, man, do you have the power. If you are broken and the whole world, all the pressures of life have caved in on you and you're looking at life and you can't figure it out, there's so much of life that you and I will never figure out. I don't know whether you all have been listening or not, but it just breaks my heart to see all the suicides that go on in the state of Kentucky. Of course, we're number one or number two, I can't remember, in the United States with teen suicide. What's going on when you're listening to the news and you know out of a neighboring county, there's already been 3 middle school students that have hung themselves? What's going on? We look in a society in which we live, and you and I cannot figure it out. Then we look in our own life and we realize something. We can't figure that out either. I don't know what it is, but I do know this. It's not God. Because God says, when you're totally broken, I will give you all the power you're going to need. I am your power. And I want you to know that in your brokenness, you have the power that can only come direct from me. Now, I say that's pretty powerful. So why do we contemplate taking our own life? Why are young people taking their own life? When I started as a prison chaplain, jail chaplain, 40 years ago, I remember one of my first groups that I had in the Hardin County Jail in those days, we held the juveniles also. A kid would be locked up. I remember well putting them in cell blocks and giving them, this one kid, he was 8 or 9 years old, gave him a baseball and his baseball glove to bounce it against the wall. And it was new to me. But I was called to this one cell. And the jailer had asked me to go talk to this kid. 10 years old. Oh, I picture, I see his face. And I'm going in talking to him and saying, you know, what's going on, son? I want to call your parents. And he said, they won't come. I called a parent, and you know what the parent said? You got him, you keep him. 10 years old. Then I go back to talk to him. And he said, I'm going to take my life. They said, I'm going to commit suicide. And I said, why in the world would you want to commit suicide? He said, because I have nothing to live for. 10 years old. And he just went all over me. 10 years old, telling me he had nothing to live for. I shared Christ. Whatever happened to him, I don't know. I can't give you that answer. But I can tell you over those 40 years, there are multitudes upon multitudes of young people and older people that had given up on life. They were broken. You know what it's like to be broken? Do you know what it's like to be in the ditch of life and you don't even know which way is up to look up? People looking around themselves and they see no hope. So what is our goal as Christians? To point them to the hope. Now don't get cocky and say, oh, all you need to do is pray. Don't do that. Any praying going on, Christian, you need to be doing it for them. You got me? You need to be having intercessory prayer on their behalf. They don't know any better. Father, have mercy. Jesus said, I took your brokenness. And that's the reason I want you to know. Not only is there hope, there's victory just ahead. Jesus says, I love you. Brokenness brings agony. Does, doesn't it? It brings agony. But repentance brings acceptance. Listen to Psalm 51, verse 17. Listen to King David here. I want you to listen to the cry of the heart when all is out against him. Friends and all have turned their back on him. Not his best friend, Jonathan. But everybody, it seemed like everybody had turned their back on him. Listen to this. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. God says, the sacrifice I want you to bring to me is your brokenness. Okay, you got that? Are you broken? God says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Bring your brokenness to me because the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and repentant heart, O God, you will not despise. Lord, I can't deal with it. Oh, Larry, you don't have to. That's why I'm with you. That's why I tell you to call out in my name. That's why I tell you to come to me. That's why I tell you I'm the one that'll give you rest. Do you ever try to get sleep and you couldn't get sleep? And then you tank a bunch of junk to get to sleep, and then you took too much junk to get to sleep, and then finally when you get to sleep, you can't wake up in time. And then you get mad, so you'll drink a power drink to stay awake. Oh, man. That's called life. Have you noticed that? Whatever it is. Think of it. Brokenness brings agony, but repentance brings acceptance. God said, I will not despise you. When you're broken, you despise yourself. Look at all my mistakes. Now, Lord, this is the human condition. Lord, I'm going to tell you something about me you don't know. You think of the foolishness of that. The Lord said, you come to me realizing that I know everything. Now, Larry, I knew it was going to happen to you before. And I loved you, Larry. As a matter of fact, that's why I told you to go this road, not that one. But though you chose the wrong road, the wrong path, and you ended up in the ditch, I have come to get you out. God will not forsake his own. You will not be left in that ditch of life. God will see to it that you have a way out. Well, how you know that? Because he's the way out. He created you. And he said, I'll come to you. And when I come to you, I will give you rest. Oh, peaceful rest. But he said, this world offers you nothing. Have you found that one out too? A lot of promises, but you don't see a lot of results. Brokenness brings that agony to the point that you said, Lord, I can't. And those loving arms go around you, and I can just hear his voice. I knew you couldn't, Larry, but you couldn't pay attention and wouldn't until you were totally broken. Brokenness produces pain, but faith produces hope. Brokenness produces pain, but faith produces hope. When you're broken, the physical pain is there. The agony part is the utter inside of you, your spirit breaking. Now I'm talking about the physical pain. Any of us who have cancer or have had it or any other type of illnesses or so, that's painful, isn't it? Man, you hurt physically. But there's no hurt that'll pull you down faster than the hurt spiritually, emotionally. That'll crush you, won't it? The broken heart, the broken spirit. And God says, I'm with you. Here I am. Look to me. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. Listen to Paul. Paul says, we are hard pressed. Boy, was he ever. You get as many beatings as that poor man had. Stonings, the rod used on him. Sometimes, you know, I've never had either done, but I always pictured I'd rather have the rock than I had the rod beating me. Either way, that's a lot of pain going on. And this old Marine, you know what he going to do? He going to run out of town if he can. He'd get out of there. I'd be smart enough to leave. But Paul was going through it, but here's what he says. And he sang this to the church. He sang this to each one of his fellow Christians there. We are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but we're not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. You know what he said that from? Faith. Not that he was understanding what was going on, but that he had faith, believing that no matter what it was in his life, there was going to be victory because he had faith in Jesus. But he hurt so bad. The physical pain was enormous on each one of them. But every side, but he said, I'm not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Despair. Oh, you're just hurting all the way through and you see no way out. That's called depression in our day. You ever been depressed? If you haven't been depressed, then we better check your breathing. You got that? This is real living. This is what life is. Persecuted? You ever been persecuted by anybody? You ever had somebody say things that were not true about you? I remember some folk was trying to do that with me one time, and they came up with some stuff, and I said, good gracious, people, I could come up with better than that and tell you, and it'd be the truth. Start that foolishness. But think of it. God looks to you, and he wants to heal you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to bring you peace. He wants to bring you encouragement. He wants to carry you above the crowd. But when does he do that? When he looks to the faith of your heart. Why does God let pain come in my life? Why does all of these things happen to me and to you? Let me ask you this. If you didn't have distress in your life, hurt in your life, brokenness in your life, would you be with God's people? Would you pray? Would you read his word? What did it take to get you to out of the bad case of stupids that you're living in? What did it give you? What did it take? Brokenness. So I said, praise God for brokenness. Thank you, Lord. But now don't say this out in public. Yes, my hand got crushed. I just praise the Lord for that. Because they are going to recommend you see somebody and talk to somebody and take a pill. That's a Christian attitude. You and I know exactly what I'm talking about. But the lost world doesn't. And quit acting like they should know. Quit acting like they should know God's promise. They don't know God's promise. And the only hope they have of seeing God's promise is in you. You showing them God's promise. You encouraging them. Me? Are you not a child of God? Are you not a Christian? If the Christians do not take the word of Christ to a hurting world, who is? Are they going to take care of themselves? Or is everybody going to end up in the ditch, wallowing in their own messes and drowning in their despair? God said, I've come that you might have peace. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'd come so you can be happy. Jesus took my sadness on the cross. But sadly, it takes a lifetime of living to recognize it. You know, just as you get to thinking, you know, Lord, I think I'm finally catching on to some of this, he zapped you right out of here. I'll be going to the supper table in heaven. But Lord, I was just catching on. You know what I could hear? No, Larry. No, you weren't just catching on. You just thought you were. You know, it only takes a little bit of the love of God to make you feel awful good, like you can lift the weight of the world. But the Lord says, and you all have heard me say this before, he's not going to say it, because now the older that I get, the more I know he's not going to ask me this. But I always thought one of the first things the Lord is going to say to me when he meets me or I get to meet him, Larry, why didn't you let me bless you more? Because you see, I get a few blessings under my belt, just like a good meal when you get them. Those good meals and your belly's full. And you know, and you think, oh, it can't get better than this. And that's when you run everybody out of your favorite man cave and get to control yourself and pitch your belly back and forth and sit down there and enjoy life. That's what we do so often with the blessings that God gives us. Lord, thank you for blessing me. But the Lord is saying, I want to bless you more. I want to bless you more. I want to bless you with a special touch where you can bless others. Oh, Lord, that's okay. I'm good. You know why we do that, Christians? Because we're so honored. We think if we get any more blessings, God's going to ask us to work for him. I got news for you. He already did when he saved you. But he says, I want you to know that brokenness that produces pain can be turned by your faith, which gives you hope. Finally, brokenness is temporary. Man, I'm glad of that one too, aren't you? Brokenness is temporary, but believing is eternal. The only sin that can send you to hell. The only sin that can send you to hell, are you ready? Unbelief. That's the only sin that will send anyone to hell. It was always Jesus said, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? It is because of your faith. Faith is believing. Do you believe? Well, my believing that Jesus is who he says he is, he's the Son of God, he's God incarnate, my believing is going to last eternal. You can't take that away from me. Because you see, when I get to heaven, I'm still believing. Won't be any pain. No tears. Yeah, but you'll have tears of joy. And I hear people saying that. The only tears in heaven will be tears of joy. And I say, where in the world do you find that? There are no tears in heaven. Tears happen to focus on the human condition. You are a glorified spirit, receiving a glorified body. Amen. Therefore, no pain can produce tears. No tears are needed. When Jesus was on earth, he cried. You know what he cried over? Me and you. He comes to the city. He's looking over into Jerusalem, about to walk in, knowing it's his final week. About to walk in. And the scripture says, and he wept over the city. Now you and I would be weeping because of the pain we're getting ready to go through on the cross. But no, Jesus wept over the city because they were getting ready to make the biggest mistake of their whole life. And Jesus was broken because they did not have faith. They didn't believe. They knew there was something about this man. But listen, if you'll read that scripture closely, you will find, remember how when he's entering in the final week, Palm Sunday, and during that final week of his human existence on earth? Remember all those people taking the palm branches, thus Palm Sunday, laying them in front of him, calling him king? Hallelujah! Praise ye the Lord! A lot of those very people were the very ones that yelled, crucify him. Man, that didn't take long, did it? You see, I believe, therefore I'm saved. I believed, therefore nothing will be able to hold me down in that ditch of life. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Man, that's a fact, right? Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. You know, my mind tells me my body can do things that my body is talking to me about how stupid I am to even attempt it. You know what I mean on that one too, don't you? But my mind said that I could. Amen. That's just like your mind telling you how many muscles you really have now. Not the trick. But God says, I want you to know, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles. Now many of us wouldn't say that our troubles are momentary or light. We're crushed. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, listen to me, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is only temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Think of that. The only thing real in my life is what I don't see. The only thing real in my life is what I don't see. Everything that I see right here today is temporary. Nothing in my presence, nothing in your presence is going to make it. It's all going to be gone. But you're not. You know that inner you that keeps talking to you? You can't see? It's called spirit. Do you know that your spirit is the only part of you that will live forever? Now right now you're thinking, you know, I really hate that. But as soon as you give its body up, you're not thinking that anymore. Lord, I didn't know it was going to be this good. And we still know each other. And we'll have the type of love for each other that Christ has for us. Now that's power. But all of this comes through brokenness. Well, Jesus said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There can be no salvation without the shedding of blood. For us, that doesn't make any sense at all. But of course, the human condition that looks at this and says it doesn't make any sense at all, we happen to be the ones that put him on the cross. Don't blame the Romans or the Jews. Blame sin. Jesus died for you and me. Jesus died for you and me. But what about those that put him on the cross? They'll surely pay. Actually, no, they won't. You know how I know? For on that cross, he looked at them and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And when Jesus says forgive, that's total. That's eternal. You're forgiven. Can't be brought up. You and I, we have eternity to look forward to. I love the idea of getting to see us, each of us, in eternity. That's great. But we're not there yet. We got a job to do. So we need to be about a father's business and knock off the foolishness. Serve the Lord. You're broken. You're messed up. I get it. You're sinful. I get it. It's called the human condition. Now let's take what we got. Give it to the Lord. and glorify His name. Because when we do that, it doesn't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, dear Lord God, for the blessings and the joy of salvation. For a love, Father, that only You can give. A joy, dear Lord God, that only You can establish within our heart. Encourage us, Father, to encourage one another. Strengthen us to give strength to each other. But Father, remind us, we are responsible to reach down in the ditch of life to help someone out. Let Your will be our will. Let Your will be done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.